Good evening, you're listening to Blast Processing, of course, the official video gamey nerd speak internet, stealing all your webs, video game, illegally downloading The Witcher 2 podcast.
They cracked open the source code, they're stealing the internet!
You said we were gamey.
Video gamey.
Okay.
Video, not old-timey gamey, we don't throw dice, well, sometimes we do.
No, I'm saying gamey as in, like, if you're eating a piece of meat.
Bittery tasting, you know, like the black
shark meat. Steak.
or rabbit. Or tur.
Oh, tur.
Oh, boy.
Everybody's like, okay, I got a Wikipedia tur and see what the hell it is.
It tastes, and when it's cooking, smells like motor oil spilled on the engine. It
smells like the undead.
That's a delicacy here on our island.
No, it's not.
No?
Speak for yourself. yeah. We're here, you know, it's me, it's John, it's Kev, it's who's always here, you know. What's up, guys? What's new?
You didn't introduce us. Normally we say something witty when you introduce us.
Okay, well, here's John.
God damn it, Kev.
Here's Kev.
I used to be a podcaster, but then I got an arrow in the knee.
Oh! I got a recliner, too. We are in a new top secret location this week, and Kev and I have recliners, but John doesn't.
No.
I own those goddamn recliners.
Run where the buses don't run now. We better watch what we say if we get John mad. There's no one coming to save us.
No.
So what's up, guys? What you been playing? Kev? Huh? Anything?
Well, I have been playing a few things, actually. I think I'm closing in on the end game of... Chronicles of Enotia 3.
Oh, Jesus.
Because I've got most of the characters now, most of the playable characters. And a lot of them are together. So I'm close. But yeah, I fought a dragon.
It could be like Chrono Trigger, though.
What's that?
You know, you get all your party together and then the game really opens up.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I don't think it's gonna. Because this is a phone game with a lot of grinding. Oh, my God.
You're comparing a phone game to Chrono Trigger.
Hey, dude, phone games in this day and age are probably more advanced than Chrono Trigger.
I did click on the soundtrack button, and I heard a lot of music that's not in the actual game. Like, for a little phone game, a lot of production went into this. Oh, you're handing around candy now. You're going to hear the rappers. It's like being in the movies.
Yeah. It probably began its life as something other than a phone game.
Its life on, like, PC.
I mean, it is the third of the series, so.
And we're on 1 and 2. That's what I want to know.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think I'm getting close to the end of
that. It's like Leonard Part 6. There isn't actually a...
<That's true. laughs> I also downloaded a couple of demos.
Okay.
I played Burger Time World Tour.
Why?
Well, I thought I should have something to talk about except for Skyrim. Cyber okay. Skyrim. It's not too bad. It's better than Elevator Action Deluxe. Definitely. But still not that much fun. I played 2 levels of it. Actually 3.5. 2.5 levels.
And then checked out?
Yeah, turned it off. And then I played the reloaded version of GoldenEye.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Which was kind of cool, actually.
It's not GoldenEye.
It's not GoldenEye, but it was kind of cool.
It was okay.
I didn't mind.
I didn't hate it, but, you know, I didn't have any particular zeal to want to continue playing it either.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It was, the demo was horribly short.
Was it the damn level?
It was part of the dam level.
Oh,
it didn't
okay,
go very far.
Yeah, the dam level was pretty short.
Yeah.
Well, no, in the game, the dam level was quite long.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was fairly long. Well, in the new game, in Reloaded.
You can play it with the move, apparently.
Yeah.
I resisted the temptation.
Yeah. Unless you have the battle rifle attachment and a wide open playing space and don't mind looking like a dork.
I don't mind looking like a dork in my basement.
Like Kinect player.
That's true.
No, John, you have a controller. It has buttons.
So I played 3 of those. And of course, I finished the main quest in Skyrim. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I want to tell the listeners out there, I mentioned this on the Facebook page, don't rush through the main quest.
Oh, you got no worry about that for me.
Do not rush through it, because it is awesome, and you want to savor that. You really want to savor it. Mix it up with the side quests, faction quests, miscellaneous stuff, because that's how the game, I think, is meant to be played. Okay, so would you agree with GamesRadar, the review of Skyrim? They talked about how, you know, people found the single player, like the story, I guess, of Oblivion lacking. Now, I had no problem with the Oblivion narrative. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But they said that Skyrim smoked it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Better than Fallout 3's?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Cool, because Fallout 3 got pretty damn epic towards the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it didn't have dragons.
It didn't have dragons. No, the main quest in Skyrim is, it's epic, and then it gets epic again, and epic again. I thought at one point it's triple epic. I thought I finished the game at one point. I thought I was like, oh my god, this is the end. Ah, I can't believe I'm here. But it wasn't the end. I had a crap load more stuff to do before I got to the actual end.
Awesome. Well, that is good.
Right?
I love when they do stuff like that.
Oh, it's really cool. And, you're all over the map trying to do this stuff. And, like, some really long, involved dungeons before you get to the end.
Here you go, gamers. You've got to the end. And here's your reward. 10 more hours of Skyrim.
That's right. Yeah. But the nice thing is, and I was talking to Steve about this earlier, is that once I finished the main quest, I didn't really have that, oh, well, now what I'm going to do kind of thing. Because Skyrim is still alive with activity. There's a civil war happening still.
Yeah.
There's all this stuff. The main quest is not the only story of Skyrim, is what I'm saying. Right?
And
it's not the only reason to play it.
And I know you and I were talking about it earlier, and I brought up Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
And, you know, Red Dead Redemption ends on a note where you can continue.
Yeah.
But that whole final part of the game, like, I was so driven by how awesome the storyline was that I couldn't really focus on the side stuff.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when I finished the game, I put it on the shelf. It was like, yeah, you know, okay, Red Dead goes away now. Because that ending was just too awesome. I don't want to just keep going, you know?
It
put a fine touch on the end of the game, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, with Oblivion, was kind of the same thing. Like, I mean, yeah, if you hadn't done, you know, the arena or the three guilds, that was some stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't have that same feeling of, like, you know, you could tell you were doing side missions.
Yeah.
You know, whereas with Skyrim, I mean, like, I've only done the companions quest. And that felt like, you know, a really nice, fully fleshed out, I didn't just feel like I was running for a cheap side quest.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like I was really doing something substantial.
Yeah.
And there was some cool storyline stuff going on. Like, it was an awesome storyline in and of itself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, you got the Stormcloak and Imperial stuff going on, which itself could be its own game.
Totally. You know? I can't wait to go. I haven't touched that one at all yet, and I can't wait to do it. There were some of the side quests that I recently did that I absolutely loved. There was the Galdor amulet one.
Okay, yeah, I got that one.
Right? Where there's like, the end of that is really epic and fantastic. Like, really, really cool. It's one of those moments in gaming that you really love, right?
Right on.
And another great one to do is King Olaf's Verse, Lost Verse.
I had that one as well, but yeah. I haven't started it yet.
When I did that one, it's not a long one. I'll tell you that right away.
Well, that's good.
And when I first started doing it, I was like, okay, this feels like the very first generic dungeon in Skyrim. None of this seems particularly new. And then I got to the end of it, and I was like, holy shit, this is wicked.
I had one like that the other night. It was a Daedric one, actually. That's what I've been doing. I've been going through the Daedric quests.
Right.
And I had one that was just this big dwarven underground city. Just felt like a giant maze, and it was huge.
Right.
And it took me, I'd say, probably an hour and a half to get through it.
Okay.
And when I finally finished it, like, when I was going through, I was like, oh, not another door. And then, but then, like, I came in through a doorway, and I'm looking down on a big underground city, and it was just like, whoa.
That's cool.
What did I just see? You know, and then I figure, okay, I can jump down here or whatever, and I jump down, and I'm in this little clearing, and I look up, and it's like, I was here 5 minutes ago. I didn't even realize that I was standing in, like, the center courtyard of this big dwarven city, and I had no idea.
That wasn't Blackreach by any chance.
No, it wasn't, no. Okay. No, and then I get up on top, and I'm looking down on this balcony over this whole city again, and I'm like, man, that's unbelievable. Just really, the handcrafted dungeons really show, you know?
Oh, it really does.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the nicest thing about Skyrim, is that none of the dungeons are generic.
Yeah.
Like I said, that one dungeon in King Olaf's, it kind of felt like it, but the payoff was fantastic.
Awesome.
Right. Just one of those.
I believe it was a Daedric quest. Remember that first dungeon you found when you were fooling around at the house?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The one with the, like, underwater.
Underwater one, yeah.
I actually had to go through that for a quest.
Did you?
Yeah.
I haven't gone to that in my own game yet.
Actually. Yeah, it's actually part of the quest.
That's cool.
It was really cool.
Wow.
Anything else?
That's it. I've just been playing that one, those couple of demos, and I just put a chocolate in my mouth so my voice sounds really weird. Oh, this is a coffee-tasting chocolate.
You don't like coffee.
I don't like coffee.
I'm sorry.
Tim Hortons chocolate, dude.
You don't have a cousin Larry.
You don't have a cousin Patty.
That's gross. Okay, so we're going to need some Dr. Pepper up in here. And I'm going to hand it off to John. What have you been playing, John?
Well, I'm going to say I put Skyrim down for the week.
Yeah, bull.
No, it is bull. I haven't had time to play Skyrim the week. Properly invest myself in the role of Dovahkiin. You know, I haven't had a chance to sit down in just my underwear and a helmet.
That could be construed in any number of ways, but...
That's gross, Steve.
No, I mean, it's...
I know Skyrim's a good game, John, but...
you had to go there, didn't you?
Someone had to. It might as well be me.
You started this fire. You can burn it. It's been a couple weeks since we were on... since we recorded, hasn't it?
We didn't do last week. We skipped a week.
Yeah, so I've actually had time to review two games.
Hey!
First up, I reviewed Saints Row the Third, which didn't suck.
I find that hard to believe.
Steve, Saints Row 2 was 2 years ago.
I find that hard to believe.
I never ever played a Saints Row game.
The first one was okay in the sense that Grand Theft Auto 4 hadn't come out yet, and it was a nice little, you know, high definition upgrade to the PlayStation 2 style Grand Theft Auto games. And it had, like, that sense of humor amped up to 11, but if you were the kind of person who was yearning for Grand Theft Auto to start taking itself a little bit more seriously, Saints Row was like a nice pick under a toenail.
Right.
You know?
And
GTA 4 was exactly what I wanted from Grand Theft Auto. I wanted it to start taking itself seriously, start having more characters, start having deeper storylines.
Beat American TTs.
Yeah, and beat American TTs, cousin!
No, it's the perfect game for my wife to play, because it's just, you know, she can just go out and do whatever she wants and cause mayhem, but amazingly enough, they've managed to craft those, like, just the whole causing generic chaos around the city and make that part of the main storyline.
Okay.
Like, the main story missions will have you doing all this crazy stuff. So it's actually, you know, I'm not going to recommend you run out and buy it right away.
Oh, yeah, no worries about that.
Yeah. You always got to be such a cynical prick. Take that Santa Claus hat off. You haven't heard of this.
Take back my Santa hat.
I say rush out and buy it right away, but, you know, if you're looking for a fun little rental for the weekend, you know, not a bad title.
I gotta put my hood up and be emo.
Now, speaking of bad titles, though, I unfortunately had the displeasure reviewing WWE 12.
Womp womp.
Yeah, it's... You know, it's been more than 10 years since THQ picked up that license, and they still don't know what they're doing.
Really?
Yeah, they still just...
I thought that, like, this one was actually being held in pretty high regard.
On one site.
Oh, okay, never mind then.
But,
the site that was paid the most money.
Yeah, IGN, the one that interviews all the wrestlers.
Yeah, there we go.
They promised, I think what they said was faster, smoother, simpler.
Okay.
They got faster, right? You know, they're
faster, choppier, and dumber?
Yeah, faster, choppier, and dumber. And they still got the horrible clipping issues where, you know, they use motion capture to do all the moves. And the other problem with that is when you get different body types and body sizes in there, the guys all start... And, I mean, they still can't make hair look good in 2011. They still got that...
Stringy long hair?
Yeah.
The polygons?
Yeah, the polygon hair.
Like they use, like, a cloth animation on?
Yeah, it looks like garbage.
Yeah.
It looks like absolute garbage. And then on top of that, you know, it's just... It plays the way SmackDown always has, you know. Somebody can go in and just hit the punch button over and over and over again.
So I'm going to stick with Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat.
Exactly.
And King of Fighters.
Yeah. Here's my thing. You know, THQ, you guys made a great wrestling game. It's called UFC Undisputed.
So basically what you're saying, John, is wait for Tekken Cross Street Fighter, pick King and Zangief.
King and Zangief. You know, wait, just tag teams then. You can throw in Marduk and...
And the bear.
And the bear. Yes,
oh,
the bear.
Yes.
Kuma, was it?
Yeah, a dream comes true.
Zangief gets to fight a bear.
Yeah, you get to see Zangief pile drive a bear.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And really, I think that was it for the...
Yeah?
Yeah.
What the hell have I been playing the last 2 weeks?
Skyrim.
Lots and lots of Skyrim.
That's all you've been playing, Steve.
Yeah, pretty much.
We're getting on the sugar crash with Skyrim now. It's just like, what else is there to say?
Okay, see, oh, no, I did briefly fire up Dark Souls and play a little more Dark Souls. That didn't last very long. I got back to Skyrim.
It's still a great game, though.
Oh, Dark Souls is still absolutely phenomenal. Played a bit more Skyward Sword. I'm about 6 hours into Skyward Sword.
Yes, I did play some more Skyward Sword. Yeah, I didn't want
to... Huge honking thumbs up. Huge honking thumbs up so far.
So and, you've gone through a couple... I'm assuming you've gone through a couple dungeons.
Right? I finished the first little area, and I finished the forest.
Okay, so you've had your first boss fight?
Yeah.
What'd you think about that?
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was absolutely fantastic. Hard as balls.
Yeah.
But fantastic.
That's kind of where the game ramps up the swordplay a little bit.
Yeah, I love the swordplay. I love how you have to kind of mix up your slashes from sideboards to upwards and stuff like that. Like, it's really, really cool.
Yeah.
And it looks great. It's a nice-looking Wii game. Who knew?
Crazy.
But yeah, I did play... And I did fire up Forza 4 again for a little while. Did some racing, you know. Just actually this evening before I left, I finished off a Mustang versus Camaro circuit. And
did you guys hear about the $100 car in Need for Speed World?
No.
It's a DLC car, and the DLC costs $100.
Why?
Because somebody in EA lost their fucking mind.
Why would any DLC be $100?
That was actually another game.
Was it?
I did pick up and play Need for Speed The Run.
Yeah?
Yep. I did. I forgot all about that. So yeah, we have a new game to talk about. Steve has played Need for Speed The Run, which... made a big splash when it was announced and stuff, because it was the first Need for Speed game powered by Frostbite technology, you know, the Battlefield 3 game engine.
Yeah.
Which means it's really pretty, it's really shiny. Car controls were pretty good, it was fast, it was really fast. It kind of had a little bit of the Hot Pursuit feel to it, like the Criterion style.
Yeah, I heard it's kind of a middle ground between Hot Pursuit and Shift.
Yeah, well, it's not really sim heavy like Shift is. It is more of an arcade racer.
Yeah.
But it's pretty good. What I played of it so far, I've really enjoyed it. I hear it kind of settles into a bit of a monotonous groove, but I love the idea of this like cross country cannonball run style race. You know, I think
it's about to make a great game, man.
Yeah, it's really that concept is really cool. And like, I just finished the first section of the race where it was like, you know, I got my handler on the radio or on my little iPad telling me, you know, you got to get to Las Vegas in the top 150, or it's no point in even continuing, kind of thing. And I'm kind of worried that if I get further into the game, I might end up boning myself if I don't get high enough in the standings, like, early on.
Oh, yeah.
And that, like, it is kind of cool when you think about it that way. It is a little bit neat how it's put together like that. Now, I don't really know anyone else who's played it, and I don't really know, like, it's not a traditional racing game in a sense. I don't know if I'm making good time or not. You know, like, I don't know if I'm really nailing it or not. It seems like I'm doing well. It seems like I'm doing pretty good. But, you know, I won't really entirely know until the end of it. But, yeah, like, I'm enjoying it. It's pretty looking.
Is it as good a game as Hot Pursuit was?
I wasn't a huge Hot Pursuit fan.
Okay, so
I'm not really big into the Criterion-style stuff. Like, I'm not really big into these open-world racing games. I find them really, really dull. They're not intense, man. They're just not intense games. They're just kind of like, oh, look, I crashed it and my fenders are all dented in. You know, like, it's... I don't have that white-knuckle racing intensity.
I never thought I'd hear anyone describe Criterion as lacking in intensity.
It's fast, but it's not intense. I don't know. I don't get that same feeling as
you need 100 cc's a split second.
Split second was pretty good, but split second handled like more of a sim. You know, the car handling wasn't quite arcade handling.
Handled like more of a sim until the jet crashed onto the
yeah. But no, but even that was
until the control tower collapsed.
But even that was handled really well, how all of that stuff was triggered, and it wasn't
you know,
power ups that you pick up on the track and stuff, which I freaking hate. You know?
You weren't a Blur fan?
I was all Blur sucked. Blur was poor old Bizarre Creations getting ass raped.
Yeah, no, I remember when that came out. I had to pick between Blur and Split Second, and I chose Split Second.
Oh. Like, okay, we just picked up the developer of one of the most critically lauded racing games of this generation. Let's make them make Mario Kart with performance sports cars. That's just the most ridiculously stupid idea I've ever heard in my life.
They were a PGR team, weren't they?
Yeah. And PGR 3 and 4 were incredible games. Yeah. Incredible, you know? I don't know what the hell Microsoft was thinking there. But, hey.
You remember a game called Metropolis Street Racer?
That was in.
That was in?
That was in, yeah. That was a precursor to PGR.
Okay.
It was Metropolis Street Racer on Dreamcast, and then...
I remember that game, it was a really big deal made about the way the soundtrack and everything. I think it was the first racing game to like, incorporate the radio.
Yeah. It was good stuff. It was a good game. But, yeah, well, I mean, it was pretty much the best racing game on Dreamcast. There was a 2, I think, on Dreamcast as well, wasn't there? MSR 2?
Yeah, I think there was.
I think so.
It was Dreamcast where the... oh, jeez, what was that old racing series? Really popular when the PS2 first launched. Tokyo.
Oh, Tokyo Extreme Racer. Yeah, they kind of suck, though.
Yeah, but that started on Dreamcast as well, didn't it?
It did, yeah. Yeah.
Those things are so... Like, completely out of my element.
Yeah.
The last racing game I was excited about was F-Zero.
Well, dude, F-Zero was pretty
awesome. F-Zero was an awesome game.
It was pretty awesome game. Yeah. And actually, the racing bits in Beyond Good and Evil.
I don't think I ever played them.
Those were fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Need for Speed to Run, thumbs up for me, like, unless, you know, it really goes off the rails as it goes. I haven't seen a whole lot of these, like, scripted QTE scenes. I've only seen one of those. That was kind of cool. You wake up, you're in a car crusher, and you have to escape from this Porsche, and you're handcuffed to the steering wheel, like something that had gone in 60 seconds, you know?
That's cool.
And I thought it was pretty neat. I thought it was actually kind of a cool twist. And I like that, you know, they're trying to wrap a story around it, but they're not, you know, crowbarring it into the game. It's there if you want to enjoy it. If not, you can skip it and just race.
That sounds like a game I would play if it had, like, a Cannonball Run type feel.
It's not tongue-in-cheek laugh. It's more of a serious, it's, you know, Cannonball Run crossed with, you know,
Drive.
Fast and Furious or Drive.
Right, yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so...
By the way, it was a fantastic movie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hmm. It is that style of thing, you know. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm digging it.
That's cool. What platforms?
It's out for 360 and PS3, and I believe PC as well.
Okay.
I'm playing it on PS3.
Nice.
But I dig it. I guess, like I said, thumbs up.
Dead Space.
I guess it's news time.
It's the news. With your hosts. These guys.
Channel 7 news team.
Action news. We go to Ernie Pie in the Sky.
Ernie Pie with your pie in the sky.
Right off the bat, bit of sad news for me, because I had some experience with it, because I play absolutely every MMO under the sun. Star Wars Galaxies. Sony Online Entertainment's long-running MMO has gone dark. After 9 years. So, you know, Star Wars, the first real... I'd almost go so far as to say, you know, the first real blockbuster MMO release, because EverQuest came out and became big after the fact, you know? Like, it kind of caught on and went huge. But Star Wars Galaxies was the first one to really get hyped, you know? I played it early on. I played it after the whole controversial new game experience thing. And it turns out, when I fired up the station site today, I still had an active account. Who knew that I hadn't been logged into in 5 years? So, hey. I didn't log in, because I would have had to re-download the game client and stuff, and hey, by that point, all of it would have been over with. But yeah, Star Wars Galaxies, poor one out. It's gone.
There were celebrations.
The Rebels won. There was fireworks.
Yeah.
I hope they played the Yub Yub song.
Naboo apparently burned to the ground.
Really?
And some other place, I can't remember what it was. There were two places that were on fire.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen Naboo burn.
My god, it's full of Jar Jars.
What was the name of their race?
Gungans.
Oh, the Gungans, that's right.
Oh.
Let us never speak of this again.
No. But yeah,
Jamaica.
I think one of the big things I liked about it, and what I hate about, since 1999, since the prequels really kicked off, and the expanded universe kicked into high gear and all that stuff, Star Wars has become a completely different animal from what I grew up with.
Nerdler.
And it's not the series that, you know, do you remember when the Jedi Knights were mystics?
That's right, yeah.
And when there were only two of them?
Yeah.
You know, like with Star Wars, with Galaxies, when it first came out, I mean, becoming a Jedi in that game was a ridiculously impossible task that required a shit ton of time sink, you know? Like, it was, I think GamesRadar said it best, you know, they had a screen capture of a Jedi up taken from the early game, and the caption underneath read something like, meeting a Jedi in Star Wars Galaxy was a pix or it didn't happen kind of event.
Right.
You know, and I remember there was a big deal made about the first player to actually become a Jedi and all of this kind of stuff. He won a prize, and,
wow.
You know, like it was one of those things. And, of course, when the new game experience launched, which what they did was they went back to the drawing board, stripped out a lot of the basics, added a new starting area / tutorial area, which was heavily scripted and played basically exactly like WoW, and added Jedis as playable classes right from the get-go. So, I mean, that kind of took a lot of the fun out of Star Wars Galaxy for me, because there were just Jedis running around everywhere. And Star Wars was never about the Jedis to me. Star Wars was always about, you know, wars in space. It was never about these guys in bathrobes running around hacking each other up with laser swords. Like, I mean, yeah, that was a big part of it, but, you know, Luke and Obi-Wan were really cool because they were the only two. You know?
Yeah, and Luke wasn't even really one.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but then the prequel trilogy comes out, and all of a sudden, absolutely everything Star Wars just has people bouncing around like Super Balls with laser swords in their hands, and it kind of diminishes it a lot, you know?
You know what I miss from it?
What's that?
Scum and villainy.
Scum and villainy, yeah. That's another good one. Like, all the scum and villainy kind of became characters or cartoon characters after the new trilogy.
Yeah.
Not to turn into total haters, you know, but I mean, all the focus, the new Jedi expert, the new expanded universe after, like, the novels, the new Jedi Order and all of that stuff, you know, like, it's all just guys with laser swords.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the Star Wars that I grew up with. It's not Han Solo and, you know, the Rebel Alliance versus the Imperials and, you know, two opposing war, like, opposing armies in a war, you know, not...
Guys, keep Han and Hanukkah.
Well, you know what? The Clone Wars TV show is actually really good.
If you say so.
It is. I watched the first season and bits of the second season, and I really, really enjoyed it.
I saw a few episodes, and I didn't mind it. You know, yeah. I didn't hate it or anything, but again, it's kind of one of those things that I'm Jedi'd out.
Yeah.
I really am. I'm Jedi'd out. As soon as I start attacking the clones in theater, I was done with Jedis.
Yeah. And now, of course, Phantom Menace is coming back to the theaters.
Which I'm going to completely ignore.
In 3D!
Woo! I'm still going to ignore it.
I know.
I watched it not too long ago, actually. We sat down and watched the Blu-ray. And it wasn't horrible. I didn't hate episode 1. I never did.
Right.
But, you know, I'm still going to ignore this 3D release. So yeah, there you go. Star Wars Galaxies is dead.
Steve watched Phantom Menace last week.
And Steve watched Phantom Menace.
Yeah, you know what I watched last week? Spike's VGAs were last week.
Hey, I saw that too.
I didn't. I was working that night.
You weren't.
There was a whole lot of commercials. You know.
We gotta give a shout out here. Mr. Brian Wiscombe. 4 years running. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
We had pizza and chips.
We went to Blast Cave 3.
Outpost 31.
Yeah. You guys eat Mountain Dew and Cheetos?
We didn't have Mountain Dew or Cheetos. We had pizza and beer and iced tea.
All right.
But we sat down with Mr. Wiscombe and his nephew, I think, Brady?
Yeah.
Who was a cool guy.
Yeah, he was a bright kid, man.
He called us all assholes, which was awesome.
He figured it out, though.
He did.
He figured it out.
He was an asshole.
He figured, like, nobody else seems to get it.
But yeah, it was a good time. But yeah, sorry, John. Continue.
Well, Spike's VGAs were last week. You know, there's a lot of commercials, a lot of awkward humor.
Very.
I would say, you know, I do prefer it without a host. They did that a couple of years ago, and I thought that was good. But as far as hosts go, I really prefer Chuck to Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, Andy Hage was a poser.
Yeah. Like, I can... I could watch it, and part of me could believe that Chuck has played a video game.
Well, he definitely has, you know? He seems like he was at least at home there.
Yeah. But besides that... Naughty Dog unveils a new, not entirely original concept. Yeah, but if anyone's going to kill the zombie meme, it might as well be Naughty Dog. Skyrim wins Game of the Year, All is Right in the World.
Oh, yes, yeah.
We're like that every year, though, man. It's like they announce the game of the year somewhere. Call of Duty better not win it.
It wasn't last year. I think it was the year before last year. We were really, really let down by the game of the year.
Yeah. Last year was Red Dead.
And we were happy with Red Dead. We were like, yeah, okay, deadly. But the year before last year, I think there was one, and we were kind of like, what, seriously?
Might have even been Modern Warfare 2.
Could have been.
Yeah. Mm. But, Skyrim wins Game of the Year. Legend of Zelda was the first inductee into the Video Game Hall of Fame. And with all the trailers and all the commercials during that show, Cabela's Big Game Hunter 2012 holiday commercial was the best trailer of 2012.
I agree. Yeah. I concur. If you haven't seen it, look it up on YouTube. Cabela's Big Game Hunter 2012 holiday trailer.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, that's even, there was a Darksiders 2 trailer there, man. I'm even giving it to Cabela's
own. And that Darksiders 2 trailer had one of the coolest taglines I've ever seen.
Where what begins with war ends
in death.
Nice.
That was pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
No Michael Wincott voice yet, though.
No.
Oh, no? Not in the trailer?
Not in the trailer.
The first teaser, you hear him for a few seconds.
But yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, Skyrim Game of the Year. And not surprisingly, it has shipped 10 million copies.
Way to go.
Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So, when we just... In case any listeners out there don't follow it, how big is 10 million copies in the...
10 million copies is more, I think, than... I think it's definitely more than what GTA 4 sold.
Yeah?
I could be wrong, but I'm thinking it is. I think GTA 4 was somewhere around 7 or 8. I know Black Ops was like 7 million. You know, and Black Ops was the big one last year. That was the highest selling game of last year.
So how's it compared to, like, COD Mod 3?
I think Modern Warfare 3 sold like 6 million in the first week.
Yeah.
But it probably slowed down pretty quick after that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who knows? Like, I mean, the thing with Skyrim is it's one of those games that's just had legs. It just keeps going.
Yeah.
You know, word of mouth. Like, people are playing it and talking about it.
My dog is talking about it, man, which is great. It's awesome to hear, like, people come in, like, even people who are coming into the store to rent movies and stuff are talking about this game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they're still talking about Skyrim. You know, it's like people coming to rent movies and, oh, would you like those for a week? Yeah, if I can get my boyfriend or my husband or my significant other away from the television from playing Skyrim long enough to watch them. You know?
The game just does it right. You know, you're 2 hours into it and they let you kill a dragon.
Yeah.
Right?
It's kind of ruined other games for me, actually. I mean, earlier you were shown us that footage, Steve, of that MMO, what was it called?
Aeon.
Which, you know, before I played Skyrim, I would have been like, man, that looks awesome. But no, after playing Skyrim, I was like, well, you know, it kind of looks, it could look better.
It's like I said to you earlier, I thought 2011 was an amazing year for gaming right from the get-go.
Yeah.
Right from January, February. Like this year, I thought last year was pretty strong right from the beginning. This year was better, you know, for me, personally. Like, I mean, right out of the gate, we had Dead Space 2, then we had Dragon Age 2, Crysis 2. Like, there were some awesome games this year. And the whole year, it seems to have just been raising the envelope. Like, the whole year has been pushing that graphical bar and that production value bar. You know, like, you had Crysis 2, which was gorgeous. Stunner of a game. 2 months later, L.A. Noire, which, again, you know, like, was like, holy crap, I've never seen faces animated this well.
Mm-hmm.
And beautiful, beautiful looking art design, you know. Then we had...
I forgot all about L.A. Noire.
Well, we had L.A. Noire. Then we had Rage in September.
Yeah.
And then not 2 weeks after that, Battlefield 3 pushes it again.
Yeah.
Then Uncharted 3. Then Skyrim.
Like,
that's not even a mention shit, guys. Like, the... you know, Mortal Kombat and Arkham City.
Mortal Kombat was great. Arkham City, yeah.
The best Unreal Engine has ever looked.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed Revelations came out.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I mean, I gotta say, like, the Assassin's Creed engine and the Modern Warfare engine are starting to show their age. You know, the games are starting to kind of, I guess, look a bit samey. You know, but they're still, I mean, still great looking games.
Yeah.
Not to take anything away from them. But, you know, when you got stuff like Uncharted 3, Battlefield 3, and Rage... And then on top of that, Skyrim, where every freaking vista you look at is like picture postcard. You know, it's just such a gorgeous looking game.
Oh, it was a dragon.
Yeah, you know, yeah, exactly. But it's all just like this year has been a great year. And then I think about Skyrim and how far beyond all the rest of them that it is.
Yeah.
You know, even Dark Souls, which is like my baby, or The Witcher 2, which I love dearly. Skyrim smokes more. Yeah. You know, like Skyrim is just so far beyond them. It's silly.
Dead Space.
Who is that? Oh, it's me. Okay. Speaking of open world RPGs, Risen. Anybody else remember Risen?
Jack remembers Risen. I talked enough about Risen.
Is Risen the one I used to make fun of because they forgot to put light sources in the game?
Yeah. That, but then, now, to be fair, that was the original European release for Xbox, which was naft.
Dude, that was broke as fuck.
It was.
Oh, we got an F-bomb.
But no, the PC version was gorgeous.
Yeah.
PC version was a
good game. Oh, dude, I mean, once that patch came in, you could actually see.
The PC version was a really good-looking game, and the U.S., really, like, the North American console release was actually pretty damn good.
Well, the only few chapters are kind of interesting, too, you know?
It played the different factions and stuff really well, and you could have a completely different experience based on how you played it, which I really like. And it's that whole open world Euro style RPG too, you know, where you're just exploring around. You got this big giant island to explore. It was a cool game, great combat mechanics and stuff, but there was a steep learning curve. The menus were laid out horribly, blah blah blah. But Risen 2 Dark Waters looks to be a massive improvement in all respects. The original team
Dark Water?
Well, it is a pirates game. You play as a pirate.
Alright.
Apparently you're playing as the same character you were in the first game, but it's 10 or 15 years later, and it's all basically sea-bound. Like, you know, you're a pirate, you got a gun and a sword and that kind of thing, right?
That's cool.
It looks really cool, and it has been given a release date of late April.
Are there puzzles in it?
Yes.
Like, puzzle pirates? Puzzles?
No. There are no crossword puzzles or math puzzles. It's not.
Battle.net.
No, it looks like an improvement on the original in every way. It's got pirates in it, and it is coming to consoles in April of this year.
Cool.
And on top of that, it's being developed by the original team, who were horribly embarrassed and disgraced by the sloppy port the first time around, so they want to make sure they get it done right.
Nice.
Now they're back for revenge.
Yeah.
Double Dragon 2, the revenge.
So there you go. Risen 2, Dark Waters. Myself and maybe Ken are the only two people who are excited about it, but hey, we're really excited.
Hmm.
Just play Skyrim when turn the lights up.
Turn down the brightness.
Yeah. Break the bulb in your TV.
Oh.
Why do I have to do this one?
Because.
Alright.
It's just the way it works.
Little slice of sadness pie at Sony.
Slice of sadness pie.
The rumors of Ueda's departure from Team Ico have been confirmed.
They're true.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce his first name again?
Fumita?
Fumita, Fumiko, or...
Yeah.
Mr. Ueda.
Mr. Ueda. Pouring out for Mr. Ueda.
Yeah. He's apparently sticking around as a hired gun to finish The Last Guardian, whether or not we'll ever see it.
I'm still convinced that there is something seriously wrong with that game.
I think... I'm actually... You know, it's very sad that he's leaving... But, I mean, the report said that he was leaving upon completion of the game.
Yes, he's there till it's done.
Right.
Yeah.
So that tells me the game's going to be finished, at least in some way.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
And also, two of the producers from the company have left as well.
Oh, are you kidding?
Yeah, and one of them has gone on to do, like, mobile games at some European company or something.
Okay.
So I think pretty much once Last Guardian goes, that's the end of Team Ico. I think Team Ico and Team Ico are gone.
I don't mean to sound rude about it, because I know Kev plays mobile games and that, right? But, and I know your wife is, like, addicted to that fish tank simulator on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have we actually...
What a goddamn waste of talent. Just say it, John. What a goddamn...
Exactly. No, have we actually gotten to the point now where game developers will go and make, pardon my language, a fucking Excel spreadsheet instead of making art?
Well, I mean, even
somebody stop this century. Yeah. I want to get off.
Even looking at guys like Richard Garriott. I mean, I know Richard Garriott. A lot of people, he's the brunt of a lot of jokes and stuff.
No, drink. Beer stop.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, out there in Radio Land, we are passing around a beer stein.
Oh, it has Kool-Aid in it.
No, like even Richard Garriott, you know, brunt of a lot of jokes and stuff. That Tabula Rasa and stuff, which. I don't care what anybody says, it was a damn awesome MMO, and it was original. It was a unique idea.
It was killed in the whole, every MMO just fell before the Modern Warcraft.
And not only that, but Tabula Rasa cost a lot of money to make. It was an expensive game. It was a very expensive game. But my whole thing was, you know, when Richard Garriott is doing social games,
yeah,
there's something wrong.
Yeah, something
when the creator of Ultima is doing social games,
oh yeah, You know, like...
That'd when, be like when Lord British is selling himself on a street corner...
To Facebook users. Yeah. You know, like, seriously, man? Like, what are we talking about here? You know, and... like, the idea of Fumita Ueda doing a Facebook game, quite frankly, that terrifies me. That yeah. just, you know, like...
The man responsible for the most artistically beautiful video game of the last generation.
Yeah, you know, like, I just...
Actually, let's just say, I mean, when the PS2 first launched and Ico came out, he dragged gaming kicking and screaming out of its out of the tween years.
Yeah.
Video gaming yeah. was no longer 13 and listening to pop punk too loud and, you know.
He gave it Mozart.
Yeah.
And ushered it into its 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Video gaming went to college, started smoking. And
started reading 1984 and...
Machiavelli's
a prince.
Had it bought for a quarter or something.
And started talking about the brilliance of, like, people like Nietzsche.
Nietzsche was profound. Let me tell you something.
So, yeah, that's sad news.
That is sad news.
But you know what?
You don't really brighten things up now?
Well, despite this happening, there are still some great... developers out there making games like Minecraft.
Which I believe did win an award at the VGAs last weekend.
It did indeed. It won Best Downloadable Game, I think.
I think so.
Yeah. Which is great. Great news for those guys.
Kudos to Notch.
Kudos to Lord Notch.
You have such stalwart competition yeah. as Farmville and the goddamn fish tank simulator.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe there were a few like PSN or XBLA games.
Chronicles of Carnia.
Children of Enosia.
Chronicles of Enosia 3, Children of Carnia. Let's just get it right.
Which wasn't right. even nominated.
No. But a very good game. Occasionally some weird things in it, which I think is lost in translation. Sometimes somebody says something and I'm like, what the hell? Okay. That was weird.
Someone set us up the bomb.
Speaking of downloading...
Oh, wait, I'm not finished with Minecraft.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's another big, huge piece of Minecraft news, Steve, that I think our listeners demand to know.
On that bombshell?
Steve has bought Minecraft.
I did.
The portable version of Minecraft.
I did.
You did buy
true. It. I actually did.
The Great Detractor.
Get out of my house, you know. Welcome here.
I've never played it, though.
Now, to be fair, it was on sale for 10 cents.
10 cents on the Android Marketplace.
The Android Marketplace has been doing this thing where they've got, like, 10 cent specials. I think it's, like, for Christmas, like, 12 days of Christmas for 10 cent thingies. It's no longer 10 cents anymore, listeners, so...
Yeah,
it's $6.99 is going
on. Great deal!
It's a great deal. I couldn't even download it for 10 cents. But I still have the demo. And Steve hasn't even played it.
I have it here. Do you want my phone?
Because in the demo you can't save your world, right?
I can in mine?
You can in the full version of the pocket version. You can save
my world.
Your game.
Okay.
So you can start building stuff and save it.
Isn't that what every hero should aspire to?
Saving the world?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's right.
Save the world, get the girl.
That's right.
Craft dinner for supper.
So that's cool. I'm glad you have it.
Someday I may even play it.
Yeah, you should.
I will.
Nice.
I make that solemn vow.
Yeah.
That someday I will play it.
I don't have any other Minecraft news. That's it.
Speaking of downloaded games.
All right.
Now that we are talking about downloaded games. I love these guys. These guys are quickly becoming like, you know, they're right up there with me with Bethesda and BioWare now. You know, I have a warm place in my heart for these guys. Polish developers, CD Projekt Red, who I talk about a lot, I know. I do, but I love them. These guys are great. And this is why they're so great. They're putting pirates on notice.
Mm.
You know, like, okay, about
this like week... throwing a head in through the door on notice?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we talked about how they estimated that between 4 and 4.5 million people illegally downloaded copies of The Witcher 2.
Did they? Right. You son of a witch!
See? All these 4.5 million, they basically... I think they're kind of going region by region on this. But they had an external third party.
They're committing pirate genocide.
Hacksawed the internet, I guess, you know. Right. Stole, opened the source code and stole and downloaded the internet or something. they went in to BitTorrent sites like Torrent Reactor and all of these. Got, I guess, I'm assuming they logged IP addresses or something like that.
Right.
And in Germany, at least, they are now handing out fines to pirates.
Wow.
Who illegally snagged, who they have basically a paper trail, definitive proof that they illegally downloaded a copy of CD Projekt Red's The Witcher. The Witcher 2, actually. And what they're doing...
This is how they're going to form Witcher 3.
Yeah, really. Now, this might have something to do with losing that whole Namco Bandai lawsuit.
Yeah.
But basically, the whole deal is, you know, that they're going, and what they're doing, and this is what I find brilliant, they're not suing them, they're not charging them with theft and dragging them in front of court. What they want is the price of their game.
So they're sending out bills.
Yeah, they're charging you for a product that you essentially purchased.
Right, right.
You know, if you have a copy of The Witcher 2 on your machine that you downloaded from a torrent site, guess what? You're going to pay for it.
Well, yeah. Look, your save file is 1.5 hours in, $59.99, please.
Yeah, that's right. I personally, nicely done.
I think so, too.
Very
yeah.
nicely done.
Yep.
I applauded it. Guys, I paid $129 for your collector's edition, which I'm putting out there right now when we do our big year-end best-of thing, which will probably be 2 weeks from now. I'm calling it right now The Witcher 2 Best Collector's Edition of the Year.
Hmm.
It was an absolutely fantastic collector's edition.
What came in that collector's edition?
There was a ceramic bust of Geralt of Rivia's head, like an old school Shakespearean style.
Was it really?
Yeah, oh, it was awesome. That's it was absolutely cool. Like, you know, something you sit in
and he's scarred open.
He is, yeah, yeah. It was absolutely fantastic. Look, and there was a hardcover art book.
So can I put that up there, like, instead of my Beethoven?
Yeah.
On my piano upstairs?
You could have him, yeah. There was a hardcover art book, soundtrack CD, making of documentary, strategy guide.
So that box,
dice.
That box.
Dice? It came with dice?
Dice.
That's cool.
And the dice were patterned off the dice game that you play in the game, which is like kind of like Liar's Dice from Pirates of the Caribbean or whatever, you know. A deck of cards that were patterned off of like the game that they play with the cards in the game. It was a ridiculously lavish.
The box is hefty.
You'd
like
this. Papercraft. It came with papercraft.
What could you make?
A few different things. I never opened them. I kept them all like sealed in their little packaging.
Right, right.
But
kind of like my Heavy Rain still has the origami.
Yeah, yeah, kind of like that. But yeah, it was a very, very lavish collector's edition. It came with a coin as well.
A gold coin
as well. So I mean, it had everything. It had absolutely everything.
To pay the devil.
Yeah, on your way to hell. But you know, yeah, it was a fantastic collector's edition. And you know what? Guys, my hat's off to you. You know, if you can... I know the game has been pretty successful. They sold over 1 million copies or 1.5 million copies. It's been highly critically lauded. The only
it
reason...
It should have sold 6.5 million.
Yeah, it should have sold 6.5 million copies. And, of course, this is the thing. This is the loudest proponents of PC gaming. All of those jackholes who hop up and scream and shout and yell and stomp their feet whenever anybody says PC gaming is dead are the same bastards who are downloading the shit illegally.
Yeah.
And I got no sympathy for them. You know what? If tomorrow every major developer in the industry turned around and said, you know what, we're not going to make games for PCs anymore. Too bad. So sad. You guys ruined it for yourselves. You douchebags. And that's all there is to it.
Amen,
Witcher
bro.
2 is coming for 360, early 2012. So all of you guys who have Xbox 360s will get to play it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an amazing game.
Speaking of gamers being douchebags...
Oh, okay. No.
Here's your cultural insult for the week.
Oh, no. Here it comes.
Double douchers, trip Ds, doucheroos.
Doucheroos. How do you douche your doucheroos?
Yeah. The Nintendo 3DS has become Australia's fastest-selling video game console.
What?
It's bizarre. I don't understand.
Seriously.
Now, I'm assuming, too, that when they say something like that, they mean that Australians buy more than 10 video game consoles a month.
Like, I really don't know. I mean, what do you even say to something like that?
I know what I say to something like that.
I mean, maybe it's the only... They can't actually have like a video game console that's tethered to a television. They gotta have something portable for when they're out running, you know, 70% of the world's most deadliest snakes.
Snakes. Yep. Spiders.
I mean, what else are you gonna do on your summer vacation? You gonna play 3DS or you gonna go swimming and get killed by a jellyfish or a saltwater crocodile? Link, if you're listening to this, which you probably aren't, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Maybe they saw it and thought, crocky, them corners are a little jagged looking.
if I'm playing me portable Dimitri when I'm out in the outback and I get harassed by a kangaroo, I can beat the lazy wallaby over the head with
it. That is the worst Australian accent I've ever
heard. Nobody pays me to do Australian accents.
Now Australia, they're the guys. They're the guys.
That's that place over there.
That's that place. Now, they have all the...
I listened to Australia before it was cool. You probably haven't heard of it.
They have strict rules on gaming, right?
They never had a mature rating.
Right.
I believe that they're actually working on one right now.
They say it's going to be in by next year.
Yeah.
But okay. The whole thing with it, it's kind of like Canada and how we treat PG-13 and R.
Right.
Like in the US, you get your PG-13 movies, you get your R movies. If there's any F-bombs, if there's any nudity or any violence whatsoever, it's R.
Right.
Whereas in Canada, as long as it's not graphic violence or intimate sex scenes, you can get away with a 14A.
Right.
You know, which is essentially our PG-13. So, you know, PG-13 movies all go to 14A, and about half to three-quarters of the R movies that come out all go to 14A.
Which is how I got into See the Rock when I was 14.
See, there you go. But, Australia's thing is, a lot, and I mean a lot, of our M-rated games get released over there as, I think it's RA-15.
Yeah.
That's what they call it, restricted audience 15 and over. And the thing about it, like, the thing that really bristles feathers outside of Australia, and, you know, it's kind of the same kind of principle as, I don't want to get into politics and stuff, but, you know, like, bringing democracy to all of these third world countries and all this kind of stuff. If you're living in Australia, it's what you're used to.
Yeah.
But a lot of the game designers and a lot of the gaming media and stuff outside of Australia are like, oh, those poor downtrodden Australians, they can't buy an M-rated game. Yeah, they can, but it's just called RA-15.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just when you get into certain specific things that they consider...
There were some big-ticket releases did make it this year, like, again, Mortal Kombat didn't get released in Australia, right?
I thought it did after. I thought they released it with some cuts.
Did they?
Because it only had to do with some of the fatalities or something.
Some bloody cuts?
Can they import, though?
PlayStation 3, definitely, because they're not region-locked anyway, right?
It's still considered illegal, but possession of contraband.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it is federally regulated, right?
Right. That's very interesting.
Germany's the same way. Germany's much worse, actually.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Because Germany graphic violence is, like, right out.
Yeah.
Which, how you get stuff like Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles? What was the name of the gun called? Shadow Warriors?
I don't know. something ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Germany couldn't get any of the Gears of War games.
Right.
You know, like...
Which I believe did make it to Australia.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
RA-15, you know.
I wonder if the 3DS popularity down there has anything to do with their... Maybe Nintendo did some, you know, their ad campaigns down there maybe were different, or, I mean, who knows?
I think
marketing. Let me just be like Bizarro World, man. Like,
no, I think Kev's out. I think he's got a point.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't really know. We don't see any of the marketing. All we get is, you know, the Nintendo press release because, hey, less than a month ago, Nintendo stock was in the toilet and Nintendo Japan was shouting gloom and doom and all this.
Yeah.
Any kind of good news that comes out of the Nintendo camp, of course, we're going to hear it.
Yeah.
You know? So it might not speak anything for the tastes of Australia, but it might speak everything for Nintendo's marketing efforts down there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look at us with Sony, how much of a turnaround there was when Kevin Butler came along.
That's true, you know? That's right.
That actually affected things?
Oh, hugely.
Yeah.
Hugely, yeah. Well, I mean, that was when people stopped mocking him.
Yeah.
You know?
So they must have an Australian Kevin Butler down there, who's a Nintendo representative.
Maybe they use Kevin Butler.
No, his Australian cousin Andy. Mr. Prime Minister!
So,
my Australian friend is never going to speak to me.
Speaking of Nintendo.
We were, weren't we?
We were speaking of Nintendo. Our segues this week have been really good, I think.
That's because I like took some time and rearranged our news stories before we started.
So, Mario Nintendo God Miyamoto has claimed that Nintendo's American partner, Retro Studios, famous for Metroid Prime, Donkey Kong Country Returns, Mario Kart 7, could easily handle development on a Zelda title. He also claims that he is not retiring, and that cell phone games are no competition. I think he's been eating the magic mushrooms.
They don't give you an extra life. Don't, Shiggy.
Do they make you tall?
No, they don't.
They don't do any of that.
He probably thinks they do. See, okay, number one. Retro Studios doing a Zelda title. Mate, I give them the benefit of the doubt on that one. You know, like, I'm not a big fan of what they did with Metroid. I never was.
Right.
I didn't get into Metroid Prime on the Cube because you had two analog sticks. Why do I have to use the shoulder buttons to look up and down?
God damn. Yeah.
Seriously.
I liked Metroid Prime.
Am I scanning everything?
Yeah.
You played on the Wii and used a remote to look up and down.
Why am I scanning everything? I found it wasn't Metroid.
Right.
You know? After Super Metroid, which I still consider the greatest game in the Super Nintendo generation, bar none. Not Chrono Trigger, not Mario World, not Donkey Kong Country.
Not Link to the Past.
Not Link to the Past. Link to the Past is probably my number two.
Okay.
But Super Metroid is the best game on Super Nintendo. And Metroid Prime was not Super Metroid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It really was not Super Metroid.
I still remember getting the chill of the Spy Man the first time you had the doo-doo.
Yeah.
The creepy opening of Super Metroid.
It was just such a good atmospheric game. It was so amazing. And on a 16-bit system, you know?
Holy shit, Nintendo made Aliens.
Yeah. But yeah, no, Retro, you know, good studio. They've done, like, Donkey Kong Country Returns was awesome.
Yeah.
Great game. And maybe they could. As long as it wasn't on 3DS. Please, no, God, no.
Yeah.
Because we actually want to play it.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
But that's the only way they're going to save the 3DS, remember?
Oh, yeah.
It's a Zelda title.
You remember that?
I think they should stick them all in a box, launch them into space, and nuke the whole thing.
No.
It's the only way to be sure.
I think they should stick them all in a box, mail them all to Australia.
And we all know how rough that country is. They'll all just get bludgeoned to death by, like, hitting dingoes and stuff, you know? No?
I don't know how to respond to that.
Andy Jr.'s gonna go to bed and
I was trying to take my baby. Quick,
gonna have to beat the lethal Australian rhinoceros spider to death with his 3DS. with the GameStop exclusive second analog stick attachment.
Oh, God, that is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Seriously, like,
how could you make that system any worse than what it is now? Like, I mean, I just...
Okay, no, here's my thing. Developers. The system doesn't have a second analog stick, so make games that don't need a second analog stick.
Yeah.
Nintendo, you've made a system without a second analog stick.
Why would people buy it? It looks like a Polly Pocket toy. I have two daughters, okay? It looks like something they'd be playing with.
Yeah.
It looks like a poly.
How old is Abby now?
Abby's 8.
8?
Yeah.
Yeah, so your 8-year-old daughter said, "Daddy, that looks kind of girly."
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, she, like, that looks like a toy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is a girl who wears pink magical pony shirts.
Yeah, and then she just went back to playing Pokemon White on her DS.
How's Chrono Trigger going for?
She got through the first real boss of the game and kind of gave up.
I forget what his name is.
I can't remember.
Yeah. Dude before the dragon tail.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy in the church. She got to there. So, I mean,
Troy's got terrified by the boss music.
Yeah, she put a few hours in. She got about 2 or 3 hours into it. So, you know what?
That's pretty good for an 8-year-old, man.
I can respect that.
I was 8 when I started playing Dragon Warrior. Wow, that brings me back.
But yeah, no, 3DS... I can't. Yeah, like, well, actually, you know what? I gotta thank Nintendo for releasing the 3DS.
Yeah.
Because I was getting really sick of making fun of the Wii. Now I got something new to...
And you know what it means? It means the PS Vita, the PSV.
Wait up.
Schnell. Yeah,
this is a chance for Sony to gain some ground.
Yeah.
On the handheld market.
Oh, yeah, and that's a little bit of... I might as well throw it out there while we're talking portables.
Right.
It was announced this week again that the Vita will only support one PSN account.
Okay.
I don't understand what the big deal is.
Right.
I really don't. I don't see why people are making... Like, you know, people are talking about how, the more we hear about it, the less attractive it looks as a system and all that. It's like, are you out of your goddamn minds?
Yeah.
Seriously, like, you have to buy a memory card. Congratulations. You're figuring that out now. You also have to buy a memory card for the PSP. You also had to buy a memory card for the goddamn DS.
Or any of your phones, if you want
You had to buy a detachable hard drive for the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Okay, what are they supposed to do? Are they supposed to build a terabyte of flash memory into the machine? Is that what they're supposed to do? Like, are they supposed to drive the price up another $200?
Yeah. after you play for 20 minutes, your PS Vita will approach temperatures of the surface of the sun.
Yeah, you will burn your hands. You know, but... Okay, touch screen on front. Touch panel on back.
Yeah.
Dual analog controls. Shoulder buttons. Games that look like PlayStation 3 games.
Take your
PlayStation. What the hell is wrong with
remote
you?
Play. Take your PlayStation 3 games anywhere.
Yeah, like, I don't understand.
Darksiders on the bus.
Oh.
Skyrim.
On the bus.
I will miss all my stops.
Skyrim on the bus.
No, see, that would make my brakes go by way too fast at work. I gotta savor that by counting the seconds.
Okay. So, you know, some of the online services aren't going to be there at launch. The new Xbox 360 dashboard launched last week. Not all the online services were there. Did anybody make a big deal out of that?
I haven't even heard about it.
See? Like, I don't understand. What is it with Sony that, you know, anytime there's any kind of little thing that doesn't fit perfectly into the plan,
it's all part of the plan.
It becomes this huge deal, and everybody just uses it as ammunition. Mm-hmm. Whereas Nintendo can make a system like the 3DS, which is a joke. It's the punchline to a bad joke, and people will rally behind it.
It's the setup, actually, for the Wii U joke.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
That's going to be the real joke.
Hey, Nintendo, make games.
Yeah.
Games. Remember those?
You used to be really, like, phenomenally good at it.
And every now and again, you can still turn out an amazing one. Skyward Sword. Yeah. You know, like, one of the best games of the year.
Yeah.
You can do it. Stop focusing on gimmicks and add-ons and your stupid portable systems, because that's what they are.
Yeah.
I know all you Nintendo fans are out there listening and having aneurysms right now. It's okay. Go buy a Sony product or a Microsoft product. Relax. Take a pill. Enjoy some Skyrim. Which you can't play on the Nintendo console.
Yeah, tell the truth, you know, I own a DS.
So do I.
I own quite a few games for the DS, but when I look back at them, none of them really... or anything more than a curiosity.
It's something to hold your attention for an hour or two.
Yeah.
It's just like mobile gaming, unless you're Kevin.
Yeah, that's right. I'm actually curious to see how many hours I've put into Chronicles of Anoshia 3. Because I'd say it's probably up in the 20 to 30 hour range.
That's crazy, see?
On a phone game.
That's 20 to 30 hours it could have been spent in Survivor.
I can't play Skyrim on the bus.
You can when you get a PS Vita. Especially if you're one of those new buses with built-in Wi-Fi.
Oh, that's true, actually.
Yeah. Now then.
It's not very good Wi-Fi.
No?
No.
Well, that sucks. That is a drag. But yeah, it's... Australia, 3DS, whatever.
Miyamoto's on shrooms.
Miyamoto's on shrooms. Nintendo in general.
Did you see him on the stage at the VGAs when when Zelda went? Look into that man's eyes. Goofballs.
Dear Miyamoto, bag of dicks. Love us.
Okay, so on that note.
That's what none of us brought the at all during the podcast and like that Metal Gear trailer.
Okay.
Was it bad?
Oh, okay.
Revengeance.
Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Revengeance?
One of the 15 taglines that came, revenge gets revenge or something. Or revenge of revenge.
Revenge gets vengeance.
Oh, that is bad.
It was a very, very Japanese trailer.
Oh my god.
But I mean,
yeah, expound a little on our VGA thoughts there, Dan. We might as well.
Okay.
Yeah, Metal Gear Rising. And the other big reveal of the show, and one that was hyped for a few months now, quote-unquote, I'm making finger quotes, BioWare's new game, which is not a BioWare game at all, and is coming only for PC, and is a real-time strategy game, and is part of the Command & Conquer series. Womp womp. Does anybody still care? Like, when was the last...
It was almost painful watching the wind get blown out of Larry's sails when that happened.
Yeah, I mean...
He honestly looked like he took a sledgehammer.
Yeah, I felt bad for Larry after that. No, I think he was pleased with the Mass Effect trailer, though.
Oh, I bet he was. That was a pretty awesome trailer.
That was pretty cool.
But then again, it was like, it comes a world premiere, BioWare. Oh, it's just Mass Effect 3. I already know this is coming.
Yeah, we've known for 2 years now that this is coming.
Yeah.
And then world premiere BioWare. It's not even a BioWare game. It's the studio that EA split off.
Command and Conquer Generals 2. I think I was sitting in the couch and go, who gives a shit?
Like, really? When was the last time Command and Conquer was relevant as a video game franchise?
Riddler 2 back 10 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was the dying...
And it's not even coming to consoles. It's just a PC game.
So it can be pirated.
That'll get pirated the shit out of.
I'll pirate it. I mean, what?
No, you better not, man, because any EA's going to come looking for a slice of your wallet, boy.
Yeah, and EA ain't like CD Projekt Red. They'll sue you.
Oh, go
on. $10,000 in damages because you downloaded the game that cost $60.
Was there anything on the new Bioshock on the VGA?
Yes, there was an awesome Bioshock Infinite trailer.
Was
there? With a really cool little folk song. What's the name of the song? Classic American folk song.
Oh, did you find that after it was actually...
It wasn't her. It was the chick who does Elizabeth's voice in the game. Old school American turn of the century, folky, religious tune. Oh, God.
Oh, death.
No, it wasn't on it.
No, it sounded like...
It's a big... brain fart. It's a big song. It's a big song.
The trailer was awesome.
It was a fantastic trailer.
And if anything, it proves that Ken Levine can still make a game look really, really creepy, even in daylight.
Yeah.
Like bright, sunny skies, and it still looks like shit, your pants terrifying.
I mean, I've been following the Irrational podcast for a while, and I gotta say, Levine is just such a cool dude.
Yeah.
He is a really cool guy.
So he's actually directing Infinite, is he?
He is, yeah.
When's the release date for that one?
Late 2012.
Okay.
Fall 2012. Okay. I think maybe even August, like that time frame. I know that was when the first game was released, was late summer.
Okay. You didn't do it with Bioshock, you gotta do it this time, man. The whole showdown beam on everything. That's too goddamn great to not do.
I don't think there can be a supercomputer in this one, John. It takes place in like 1912.
Yeah, but it'll all just be, you know, simulation.
Vacuum tubes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a difference engine.
Oh, gee. It's all steampunk. No, I'm so fed up with steampunk.
I dig that.
Yeah, man, those old punch cards you used to use in the 60s.
This is 1912, John.
Punch cards back then.
It would be like a gigantic typewriter in those three rooms.
What else happened at the VGAs besides me throwing up my mouth at that Metal Gear trailer?
Oh my god, Metal Gear Rising. Okay, Platinum Games, cool.
Yeah.
Vanquish, one of the greatest games we've all played. You know, myself and John are unanimous in our love for President Crazy Bitch and the Smoke Break Button. And Vanquish in general. Yeah. So, you know, not to take anything away from Platinum
Games. I'm going to kick your ass out of your ass!
But this game looks... It doesn't even look good. It looks like, you know, this is a Ninja Gaiden Devil May Cry clone.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, it just doesn't look like a good game.
And, you know, to say something to sound like the world's biggest nerd, watching Raiden, like, suplex a giant robot kind of, to me, takes away from Solid Snake being the biggest badass in the video game world.
It's just too over the top for Metal Gear. Metal Gear was always kind of at least somewhat grounded in reality.
Well, I mean,
like, an insanely twisted version of reality. It's still reality.
Yeah. It was like Tom Clancy's crazy Japanese uncle.
You know, that crazy Japanese uncle who smells like Absorbing Junior and gets really drunk at family parties. Like, awkwardly drunk.
Eats a lot of magic mushrooms.
Yeah, there we go.
But yeah, like, I can remember Metal Gear Solid sitting there through a 45-minute long cutscene of hearing some guy just giving off exposition on nuclear arms treaties.
Yeah.
And thinking it was the coolest thing ever. And, you know, I'm all one for robots and suplexes. Right? Again, Vanquish.
Yeah. I don't think there were any suplexes in Vanquish, though.
No, there weren't, but I mean, there was some... There was some crazy shit in Vanquish. I think the guys who made Vanquish must have been sitting there, like, doped out of their eyes on, like, the sweetest Afghan Kush. And be like, this is what it must be like. This is how dogs see. You know, Shinji Mikami would get up in the morning and pack himself a breakfast bowl. Grab his sketchbook and draw robots that he wanted to explode.
Russian robots, because Russians are the bad guys.
Not even Russian, man. It's like Soviet killbots.
USSR killbots.
Yeah. The only way that game would have been better is if the last boss was Zangief. Or Karnov.
Boris. That would have been weird. Mikhail Gorbachev as the last boss would have been fantastic.
Mecha Gorbachev. With his two guns glassed out to Perestroika.
Anyway, we've ranted on and on about Vanquish long enough.
Yeah.
What was your high point, Jen, at the VGAs?
Yeah, so the high point for me besides that Cabela commercial. Okay, I can't really put into words the swell of relief that came over me when Skyrim won Game of the Year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought they were going to do something really stupid, like give it to Batman.
Yeah. There was a lot of Batman love on that show.
There was. There really was. Joker winning best character was bullshit.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Did you see the? They put up on game trailers after the other possible outcomes.
Okay.
The Drake one was absolutely hilarious.
Of course it was.
He goes into the well looking for water.
Yeah.
Pulls out statues. Are hey, great! I won. That's great. I thought they were going to give it to the Joker. Thanks everyone for supporting me. I'm going to go and drink my own pee now. Who else was nominated? Wheatley from Portal 2.
Yeah.
Which, again, that was another one to me seemed kind of cheesy, because, I mean, all that was, you know, you got this popular British stand-up comedian.
The Joker, for me, it shouldn't have been there because, number one, it's a well-established comic book character, so, you know, it's kind of...
That's right.
Yeah, they didn't... It's kind of a tilt. There was nothing in that game they did to add anything to the Joker.
No.
You know, you got a comic book character who's existed since the 40s, I think.
Yeah. And the creator died recently.
Recently.
And then you've got, you got Mark Hamill, who's been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah.
They probably didn't even have to give him a script.
Yeah.
You know, they'll say, here's the situation, Mark, hook us up some Joker lines.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that to me kind of gets away from, you had Ezio Auditore.
And I mean, that's not taking anything away from the Joker in the game, because he was awesome.
Oh, it was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. And also, best action-adventure game.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of like,
this will not do.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't hate Arkham City or anything like that. Again, I mean, you know, I did feel it was a little overrated. Not a lot overrated, but
then again, man, you know, 8.5 out of 8 out of 10, that's not a bad score.
No, not at all. I didn't hate the game. I didn't think it was a bad game. I thought it was an excellent, fantastic game. But when I look back on 2011, it's not going to be one of those games that I remember.
No, it's only going to be one game you remember.
No, there'll be a handful.
Okay.
I mean, I'll remember Dragon Age 2, because I thought Dragon Age 2. I'll remember The Witcher 2. I'll remember Skyrim. I'll remember Dark Souls. Yeah. I'll remember Uncharted 3. You know? I'll remember that one. What was it? You know? I'll remember those. I'll remember Dead Space 2. I'll remember Crysis 2 and Killzone 3, because they were fantastic games, you know? Arkham was like, yep, it's an awesome game. Well,
Arkham, it was the same feeling I got from Infamous 2.
Yeah. It was
like, wow, this is really good, but I got something else good.
Yeah, I got something else to play that's more original, or that is more captivating, at least.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, yes, Batman is an awesome character, Batman is a badass character, but Batman has been done a million times.
But man, that ending.
Beautiful.
Yeah. No spoilers now, no spoilers.
Beautiful ending.
Okay.
It's another chapter 2, Kevin.
Great.
Yeah. Magical ending.
Excellent.
Yeah. Could have been fleshed, could have been a little bit longer. They could have hung on it a little bit more, but it was really good. It was really, really good.
I totally forgot about the Transformers trailer.
That was okay, but again, with the whole Cybertron thing, Transformers on Cybertron, again, dull. Very, very, very
robot boring. Dinosaurs, huh, man?
Robot dinosaurs, why? Why would there be robot dinosaurs on Cybertron?
That doesn't make any sense.
None whatsoever. Why would they transform at all on Cybertron?
They wouldn't transform. They only started transforming when they got to Earth.
No, they didn't. They used to transform on Cybertron into weird-looking spaceships.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, in the old cartoon they did. First episode.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and it was like, why?
And it was only when they got to Earth that they started transforming into vehicles.
Yeah, because the computer went out and scanned everything.
Life form.
Yeah.
It was life form.
No,
you know.
You're hosting a video game podcast, John.
you know the names of the characters in that trailer.
Yeah, we're all there.
You know, you would have brought it up. But yeah, it was okay, but again, with the whole, you know, Cybertron thing, like, I don't think grimy metal industrial landscapes and robots just bashing on each other when I think Transformers.
Mm.
You know, it's just, it's not what I grew up with for Transformers.
I think it was the desert wastelands of Utah.
Yeah, yeah. I think Earth that looks more like, or like, southwestern United States that looks more like the Middle East because it was all animated in Japan somewhere.
Southwest United States, it looks like fucking Planet Dune.
But you know, like the whole, one of these days we'll get an awesome Transformers game and it'll be, you know, almost like a Grand Theft Auto crossed with, I don't know, Infamous or something where you can just lay waste to an entire city, you know?
That would be cool.
Yeah, one of these days they'll figure it all out.
Yeah.
I think one of these is a lot of these licensed games, it's just they don't have enough turnaround time.
Yeah.
Like Arkham Asylum, Arkham City were built in a vacuum. People didn't really know they were coming.
Yeah.
You know, like, whereas with Transformers, it's like, okay, we got a new movie out, you got to get a game out in 8 months.
Yeah.
That's,
you know,
true,
like,
yeah.
Like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So.
They have to ride that wave, and if they don't, it's not going to.
Exactly. And
it's like, not, they don't think it's going to be relevant anymore.
Yeah.
And sure, you can take a pre-established game engine and slap a third-person shooter together in no time. But you got to think about, does that third-person shooter suit the franchise that I'm working with?
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, there's a Tintin movie coming out in December, so Ubisoft's got to do the tie-in game. What kind of game do we make out of Tintin? You know, you don't make a third-person shooter out of Tintin.
No.
Now, what they did with it looks pretty cool. It's a side-scrolling slash 3D platformer. And it does look kind of neat. It looks like, you know, an updated classic Prince of Persia kind of thing combined with some shooty levels.
Right.
You know? But, like, at least there's some thought went into that.
Yeah.
He's flipped with a blackjack.
I bet he does.
Because Tintin was not against using a gun in the comics.
No, he wasn't. He's got his handgun in the movie.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
I'm pretty sure Tintin was also a bit of a fascist in the comics.
Is Captain Haddock in the movie going to be an alcoholic as well?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he is, yes.
What was his
Haddock? Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
That's cool. I've got an ambush topic for you guys. If neither one of you guys got one.
Let's go.
Yeah? Okay. So, I was talking earlier about, you know, the ending of Skyrim.
Yep.
The main quest anyway.
Yep.
And these epic moments. It got me thinking about favorite video game moments that you've had over the years.
Like big epic.
Like something that you remember. Something that makes video games worth it to play. You know? Like something that happened in a game where you were like, this is why I play video games. For this kind of thing to happen.
Oh man, there are so many.
I know there are so many. But if you can narrow it down to one or two.
You know, it just popped into my head.
What's that?
I am the same thing I've always been, Kane. Your right hand.
That was a really good one.
So you knew as soon as that cutscene ended, shit was going down.
Yeah, you know, the whole reason that the Soul Reaver had reacted to Raziel but when he first encountered it was because the same soul can't occupy the same
space. Yeah.
So what was the complete thing called when it was the Soul Reaver and when the physical and
Material Blade, when Raziel killed himself and his soul went
into the
blade.
Yeah, what was the sword actually called?
That was the Soul Reaver.
Soul Reaver?
That was the Soul Reaver. And that's what it was, is it was Raziel all along. Mm. It was his soul that powered the blade, which was fucking
awesome. Which is why one sword drank souls.
Yeah.
We'll say spoiler alert right away on this particular blast topic.
Oh, okay. Listen.
Even though these games are going to be old.
Yeah, Statute of Limitations is in full effect here.
Legacy of Kain Defiance came out in 2003.
Yeah, come on now. That was, and what was so cool about Legacy of Kain Defiance was it was an ending.
Yeah.
You know, like, Soul Reaver 2 and Soul Reaver itself were just such epic stories. Thank you, Miss Amy Hennig. But, like, they weaved in and out of Blood Omens so effortlessly, and just the amount of mythology that they built with it, like, the sheer depth of the backstory and the depth of the script, and it all came together in Soul Reaver 2. And then in Defiance, you know, like in Defiance, when that ending hit in Defiance, you were just like, oh my god.
The entire final chapter, man, like the whole bit with, where Kain kills Mobius.
And then he appears in the spiritual realm and Raziel's waiting there to kill him again. You know, it's just like, hello, Mobius.
Yeah.
And you've been waiting two games to see him.
Yeah, you've been waiting for that to happen, and that was amazing.
Because with Mobius, I know he shows up right at the end of Soul Reaver. He was a dick right when
he was a good guy in Blood Omen.
Blood Omen, yeah.
He passed himself off as a good guy in Blood Omen. He got you to go back in time to kill the king.
Yeah.
And that's what spurred the whole war against the vampires in Soul Reaver, in the original Soul Reaver, right?
And all the pillars and everything. What are they called? The Seraphim or the
Seraphim Knights? Yeah.
They weren't as holy as
they were corrupted. Yeah. They were corrupted, and their leader was the Pillar of Balance, and he was killed by this vampire Malak, right?
Yeah.
Or no, his name was Malak. He was killed by Vorador. Was the name of the vampire who killed him?
Yeah.
And Vorador also killed Ariel, who was the Guardian of the Mind.
Yeah.
And when he killed her, then the other Guardians all went insane, kind of thing, right? And the whole thing with Ariel was her spirit was grooming Cain to become the new Pillar of Balance, to restore balance.
Yeah, he did restore balance.
No, he didn't. He refused to sacrifice himself and the world decayed. Yeah. That's the, like, in Soul Reaver.
No, but I mean, the end of Defiance, he's pretty much...
Oh, yeah.
He's fixed it.
He's undone
it all. Yeah, in his own way, he's undone and he's set everyone free.
Yeah. Which was awesome. Which was absolutely
amazing. Broke the chain.
Yeah. One can defy the Tyrannous Stars, you know?
Ask for another throw, a better throw.
Yeah, and defy the Tyrannous Stars. Which was, I mean, those games were phenomenal. And, like, yeah, there were so many moments in Soul Reaver 2 and in Defiance.
No, game characters, nobody else talks like that. It was so awesome.
It was written like opera, man. It was just so theatrical. Like, the dialogue and stuff was so theatrical. And the voice acting, man, Simon Templeman and Michael Bell just knocked it so far out of the park it wasn't funny, you know? That was like Grand Slam all the way, right?
Yeah.
That was amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. That was a good call.
So what about you, Steve?
I got two.
Alright.
I got two. The original Metal Gear Solid, the final act, like the end of Metal Gear Solid.
Right.
After you're going through all of these hoops to try to disarm this nuclear weapon on this walking battle tank, and you jump through all the hoops to get the key card.
Yeah.
And to go in and activate the three safety locks so that the nuclear weapon won't launch. And here, the guys never had it unlocked to begin with. They needed you, and they tricked you into unlocking it.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Then you're standing there in this giant hangar, and you're a 6-foot-tall dude going up against 40-foot-tall Metal Gear Rex, and you're just like,
shit. Yeah, it's all you need to suplex, I think.
No, but that was just... That was, man, that, yeah, funny, that was epic. And then, you get them halfway down, and... You're on the road.
Snakes! Stealth is probably not going to work in this battle. Yeah, no shit!
But when you get him on the ropes, and then Ninja pops out of nowhere, and he gets the big epic, like, he saves your bacon.
Yeah.
And then gets killed in the process, and it's done so awesome.
Oh, man, that was another great one, too. A cornered fox.
He's more dangerous than a jackal. Yeah, like, in the whole, in the... What was it? We don't hunt foxes, we hunt jackals.
Mm. We don't use hounds, we use royal terriers.
Yeah, like that was wicked, man. Like, just awesome stuff.
Great,
awesome, yeah, awesome.
Great fox puts an end to that.
Yeah, and then gets squashed.
Yeah.
But it was amazing. Yeah. Absolutely. And then, like, on top of that, then the chase through the tunnel on the jeeps.
Yeah. The hand-to-hand
fist fight on top of the ruined Metal Gear. And then that final moment, when he's got the drop on you, and such an awesome end, such a fantastic epic, like just as good as anything I would have seen at that point in an action movie, it was badass. And the other for me is probably to this day the most, it wasn't a happy ending, but definitely the most poetic video game ending I've ever seen, the end of Heavenly Sword.
Heavenly Sword, oh yeah.
Oh god,
that ending was incredible.
Definitely.
How many people bought Heavenly Sword? You people should be ashamed of yourselves.
Ashamed.
Yeah, beautiful game.
That was one of two games that sold me my PlayStation 3.
Right.
And when I saw that ending, man, I was floored.
Mm-hmm. Hey, dude, I remember you and I, right after I got my PS3, and you got yours a couple days later.
It was like the next day.
Yeah. It was the next day. The demo was out for it, but then we started going on the website and watching the animated series and the making of videos, right?
Well, I mean, that demo, man, I fired it up at work. We got our PS3s in at work, and when we moved down to Jumor or whatever it was, and I had it hooked up at work playing the Heavenly Sword demo. And that thing where you're running down the rope,
Yeah.
That was awesome stuff.
Yeah.
But then when I saw that ending, man, that last boss fight.
Yeah.
And then the ending was just, man, like, this is... You know, it's endings like this is why I play games.
Yeah.
You know, it's closure. It's an end. It's not...
And that boss fight made you work for it,
too. Oh, man, did it ever. But what a great ending. And it took guts.
Yeah.
It really took guts, you know? That was a pretty brave...
Yeah, no cheap way out.
No. And, I mean, people say, you know, like, that it wasn't... You know, it wasn't a big surprise because you knew at the beginning. But it's like, no, you didn't know at the beginning.
Yeah.
You didn't know what was going to happen. You assumed... that what she talked about at the beginning was going to be resolved. And it was resolved.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She beat that. But then after the fact, it happens again, and you're just like, wow. And then, like, just beautiful cutscene to end it all off, you know? Like, beautifully done stuff. Amazingly done stuff.
And then to find out who the narrator was all
Yeah. Just really, really
good. The Mannequin had another great moment for me, too. That's the... Because I really put my controller to the screen when I thought...
When you thought Kai was dead.
Yeah, I thought Kai was dead. Yeah. Oh my! It was 3 o'clock in the morning. I remember Beth was pissed because I woke her up and I was like, "No, no, you son of a bitch!"
We had that conversation on a podcast before.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I F-bombed the TV that night. And but then you go into you have your little boss fight against him, and then when she comes back at the end of it,
Yeah.
And
she gets the kill shot.
Gets the coup de grace.
Yeah.
With her ridiculous, what was she called? Twing-twang?
Twing-twang.
Twing-twang.
The big, giant crossbow she carried.
Yeah.
How about you, Mr. Woolridge?
I'm going all the way back.
Yeah?
To the very, very first time a video game blew my mind.
Okay.
Now, I'm not talking about Atari.
No. There's nothing on the Atari that's going to blow your mind.
No, there isn't. Not really. No.
Spider-Man.
Although I used to love beating my brother in baseball. I was very good at it.
How could you see what was going on?
I don't know, man. It was, and the game was just called baseball.
Look at the size of his glasses, man. I see a game from the parking lot.
I'm going back to Super Mario. The very first Super Mario Brothers.
Nice.
I mean, at that time, you know, there's no internet. There's no whatever. I think I was 9 years old.
Yeah.
I don't know how old I was. It was 1989.
Yeah.
Maybe 88 or 87. 88?
Well, they launched here in 87. 85, I think, in Japan, and then 87.
Okay, it must have been like 1988.
Yeah.
And we were playing it, and I know, you know, people have made fun of, oh, the princess is in another castle.
Yeah.
You know, that's been made fun of ad nauseum.
Yeah.
But put yourself in 1988.
You thought you had just finished the game.
Oh, yeah.
You thought that was the end.
Well, I beat Bowser the first time. Jumped over him, the bridge falls down. Oh my god, I can't believe we just did this. Me and my brother are freaking out. And then we're told the princess is in another castle.
And then you see World 2-1.
And it pops up World 2-1.
Yeah, that's a good
one. World 2-1 started, and it was like all these like giant planks that you had to jump on, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
That blew our minds. We're like, what? There's another world? Oh my god!
Let alone seven other worlds.
Yeah!
You know?
So, for me, that was the first time that ever blew my mind.
The first time a game was longer than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I went back, maybe the first Final Fantasy.
Because
I remember firing it up. Well, I mean, I played Dragonware at this point, so, I mean, it wasn't a complete shock to my system. But we were all D&D players at the time.
Right.
And thinking, like, this is like D&D, the video game.
Yeah.
And being so excited over that, you know?
Yeah.
We were what? We were like 10, 9.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah.
So that was pretty exciting. That was pretty cool.
I mean, that was a time when I remember sitting down with Eye of the Beholder. These Dungeon Crawl games.
Yeah.
And with graph paper.
Yeah.
That would actually map out the game while playing, you know? And that's something that you don't really do anymore. Right.
No. And, I mean, like, the last real game to kind of to pull that trick, I think, was Morrowind.
Yeah.
Morrowind was the last game that didn't really, you know, like, you could get markers and stuff like that, like, if you look through your maps and stuff, but Morrowind didn't hold your hand. Like, you had to really kind of read through your journal, look at, like, notes that were made about the quests you were doing. Like, there was nothing highlighted. There were no quest objective markers. There were no, like, you know, the city you had to go to wasn't highlighted in red text or anything like
that. Yeah,
you know, it's just, okay, I had to go to the corner club in Balmora. You know, like, and the only way you know that is if you go back and you read through your journal, or you specifically remember.
Yeah.
And then, when you get to Balmoral, you have no idea where to find this.
That's right.
You have no idea where it is in this city.
Yeah.
You gotta look for it yourself.
I think it was north.
It was. It was on the, it was on the northwest corner.
Yeah.
But that was the thing. Like that style of gameplay just doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? That was a good one. That was...
But you know what does exist?
What's that?
Fish tank simulators.
Fish tank simulators.
And Farmville.
Farmville.
The Children of Carnia.
I gotta say, to throw a recent one out there, like one last one for the road. And, I mean, yeah, we've been gushing about this game since it came out, so no big surprise here. When you leave... what was it called? Helgen. At the beginning of Skyrim.
Oh, yeah.
The first time you see that terrain...
Yeah, and that was like an amazing.
The mountains, moment. And you see clouds slowly creeping across the mountain surfaces.
Yeah.
And
does everyone get?
That was phenomenal.
Does everyone get attacked by the really angry Nord woman?
I got attacked by an orc at one point.
I left and there was a woman walking around. I went to talk to her.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, she got really pissy. Man,
she's wearing banded iron mail or banded iron.
Well, then because then you get Dovahkiin's helmet.
Yeah. That's in my Xbox game. It was an orc. In my PS3 game, it was an orc woman.
Mm. Okay, my PS3 home is a Nord woman as well.
It's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, Skyrim was pretty... and, like, what amazes me about that is it's still astounding.
Yeah.
I still... Like, even after 85 hours, 89 hours, I still see shit that just makes my jaw drop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look, the first time you kill a dragon, you know, everyone's going off on, oh, he's dragonborn.
Yeah. Did I just see that happen? Did you ingest its soul or whatever it is?
And then, say, you know, but then when Dark Elf says, you know, I've never had much time for... Myth and Legends, but I've seen you bring down a dragon, and that's something I can trust in. I think she said something about that, and basically it's a drinks are on me moment.
Yeah, yeah. And I right? Before that, she's got no time for you.
Yeah.
None. You know? It's pretty cool. So there you go. There you have it. Skyrim. Amazing. Play it. Game of the Year 2011. Even though we haven't officially done our Game of the Year podcast yet.
Game Makers... Legacy of Kain HD Collection, make it happen.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And when you're
even if it's just the Soul Reaver trilogy, Soul Reaver 1, Soul Reaver 2.
I think the rights for Blood Omen are a little tangly.
Yeah,
because I know Activision was involved somewhere there, and well, Crystal Dynamics developed it because they weren't a developer at the time. They were almost like a license developer.
Does that mean Square got their hands on it?
Square owns it now.
Oh, Square owns it now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they could put together a nice tidy HD. Package?
I don't think they had Blood Omen, though.
No? Yeah, but you don't need Blood Omen. I mean, you
kind of do.
Yeah, but I mean, you could get away with just the Soul Reaver trilogy.
I guess you could. Blood Omen's, like, it becomes more and more integral to the storyline, though, as you go.
Yeah. I mean, I remember playing first class Soul Reaver. It's just like, everything you needed to know was in that opening cinema, you know? Kain appears to be a dick. Lazio wants vengeance.
And it also had that awesome music.
Yeah.
Really cool music. That game had an awesome soundtrack.
And the,
that was, you know...
Who's like, it did the Elder Gods? It was Tony K?
Tony J, sorry. Tony J, yeah.
Evil. The man sounds like evil.
You think back to the PS1 days, and there were a lot of great games in the PS1 days, but there were only a handful of real, like, you know, AAA, polished, like, super game changers.
Yeah.
And Soul Reaver was one of them.
I remember everyone losing their minds. No loading screens after that first one.
Yeah.
The game loads up, and you got no more loading screens. And, you know... Everyone complained 3 memory card slots. I did not give a shit.
No, and like it was the first time anybody really took a real crack at like a real mature 3D Zelda game. You know, like a mature style Zelda type.
It had everything, man. It had the dungeons. It had the puzzles. It had
awesome boss fights.
Awesome boss.
Now there weren't many of them, but they were awesome.
I think it was
really 3 or 4.
You had Raziel's 4 brothers. And I don't really think you got a boss battle against Kain at the end.
You didn't, no. You got it was basically the opening from Soul Reaver 2 when he's on the little platforms. You hack him 2 or 3 times and he goes through a portal and the game ends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was a fantastic game. On that note, we will leave you for this week. We probably won't be back next week because it's, you know, Christmas week and all that jazz.
Yay, Christmas!
Woo! But we certainly will be back the following week to talk about what we got under our Festivus poles. Which sounds really bad, doesn't it?
That's terrible. Yeah, I can't believe you said that.
You know, okay, forget Seinfeld references from now on. Under our Christmas trees.
I don't mind a Seinfeld reference, it's our poles reference. That wasn't good.
Under our Festivus. Yeah, so tune in. Be back. You know, we are taking next weekend off. Screw you guys. we're going and eating turkey and playing video games. And probably going
get
back to work.
Blind, bloody drunk on New Year's Eve.
There we go. But we will probably be back the following weekend with our best of 2011 podcast, which I'm sure you're not going to want to miss. And we will talk about what new presents we had, you know, that kind of stuff. So, if there's anything we want to leave you with this week, if there's anything we want you to take away from this podcast, it is this.
Oh, we're already fun, friends.
We are out of here.